بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
Produced and distributed by Knowledge Books and Audio.
والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. Those people who believe have a stern love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon his deathbed, the final days of his life. لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم. Don't excessively praise me, excel me like the Christians done to the son of Maryam, meaning Isa, Jesus. إنما أنا عبد. Indeed I am only a servant. فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. Say that I am the servant of Allah and his messenger. The verse of testing that if you really do love him.
قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. In the beginning of Surah Al-Imran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is free from any imperfection or deficiency, as for al-insan, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ دَعِيفًا. Man or insan or human beings have been created in a state of weakness. The whole meaning of subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorified is he, free from any negligence or deficiency. As for al-insan, is forever full of mistakes that he makes and corrections that he needs to admit. And so a correction that we find in the hadith that we read previously, إِنَّ الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمْ وَالتَّوْلَى, we said. But the word is, إِنَّ الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمْ وَالتِّيْوَلَى shirk. That indeed a ruqa, incantation, وَالتَّمَائِمْ, from the word tamima, the wearing of a talisman or an amulet, وَالتِّيْوَلَى. A tiwala, we said, that is trying to bring love and affection between the wife to love the husband or the husband to love the wife, is shirk. And we use the word at-tawla when the word should have been at-tiwala. And we stopped upon that seeking the assistance of individuals, of those people who are living, if they have ability, something permissible. If somebody has the ability to aid you in something, which they clearly have the capability to do, then that is something which is khair and good. And likewise to pray for another individual's welfare and protection. And we highlighted that even certain words that were used directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the word istighatha, seeking assistance or seeking aid or the removal of a calamity, and he prevented his companions whilst he was living to address him in such terminology. So imagine now that he's passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam, So he refused from people using these words whilst he was living. And now once he's passed away, it becomes even more paramount that these such words should not be used, or nor should such attribution be given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that leads us on to the following chapter, discussing the obligation of loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَتَعْظِيمُهُ, and to honor him, وَالنَّهِي أَنِ الْغُلُو, and prohibition from exaggeration, from excessive praise of the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that wujub, the obligation to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before this, we find the obligation, or the first obligatory action upon the individual, is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those people who believe have a stern love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this, as some of the ulama have written, is وَهِيَ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَنْوَعُ الْعِبَادَةِ, from the most greatest points of ibadah, worship, is to dedicate love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the ulama have discussed أَنْوَعُ الْحُبْ, the various forms of love that you find. And we know that, as you find in some of the works, if my memory serves me correct, of I think Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he discusses, or Qadi al-Iyad discusses types of love. That the love that you show to your wife is not the love that you show to your child. The love that you show to your elders is not the love that you show to the ulama. The love that you show to animals is not the same love that you show to other people in society. So love has these various degrees. There's a love which is known as ijlal, of dignity, of respect, of ta'zeem. And every single individual is given that type of love. To children, you don't give them a love of ta'zeem. It's a love of rahmah, love of mercy and affection. You don't honor them in that grading. But those people who are older than you, and it may be in knowledge or in ranking or in age, you give them that type of respect. There's only one individual that all of these three or these forms of love belong to. And that belongs only to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the love of ta'zeem, of honor, ijlal, respect, of rahmah, because the way he deals towards his ummah is only given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that the total love, because his love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam disseminates, comes from the order of ordering to love him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that after this, and then you find the love towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا يَدْخُلْ أَحَدُ الْجَنَّةِ. Nobody is going to enter into paradise illa بِطَاعَتِهِ, except for through the obedience to the Prophet, or towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَاتِّبَاعِهِ, and to follow him, to imitate him. So people may talk about that love is sufficient, as we've highlighted on many occasions, that the Christian concept that love is what will make you to paradise, as long as you love. But Islam is much more deeper than that. That if you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even before that you claim to love God, or you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the correct terminology, then you should be obeying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do. It's quite simple. You need the crux to test that how much you do claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in your ittiba, comes in your imitation, comes in your following the commandments or the obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we find in the hadith, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things, if you find them inside your heart, you have found halawatul iman. You have found the sweetness of iman. Now many people are searching for the sweetness of life, the good things of life. These are the three things. If you find these things inside your heart, or at least one of them, then know that you are traveling on upon a path of iman. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more beloved than anything else. That your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so paramount in your life, yet nothing comes in front of their commands. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءُ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. You love your brethren, you love another Muslim, and you only love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no worldly gain, as Shaykh Uthaymeen in explaining this hadith, he highlights that there's no sake of the dunya. This love is not for the pretense of the dunya, for gaining something from the dunya from them. But this is a love of the akhirah, that you join upon the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you separate upon that. It is not a meeting for the sake of the dunya. وَأَنْ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. And he hates to return back to kufr, to disobedience, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved him from that. كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْدَفَ فِي النَّارِ. Just like he hates to be thrown inside the hellfire. Now when you know that here kufr can carry the meaning of jahiliyyah, of ignorance, of disbelief, and being a non-Muslim. All these meanings come into this, that once you've begun to see the light of Al-Islam, and in your mind and in your heart you find this consciousness, I don't ever want to go back to that form of life or that form of belief, then you are upon the path of Iman. You'd rather be thrown in the fire. We're not talking about ma'asi, we're not talking about sins, because insan will commit sins. We're talking about concepts of belief, that whatever you believed in before, and the kufr, the disbelief, you feel in your heart, I never ever want to go back to such a life, or a life of ignorance. I'd rather be thrown in the fire than to return back to such an evil life, is a sign of Iman, a love of Al-Iman. So we find that the love that we should show towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is over all of the creation. Yani the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a love that we show, and a love for on the dunya. Above all of the creation, the most respect and love should go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we find in the famous hadith muttafaqun alayhi, narrated by Bukhari Muslim, la yu'minu ahadakum hatta akuna habba ilayhi min waladihi wa walidihi wan nasi ajma'in. None of you truly believes. And here you find the meaning of la yu'minu ahadakum. What does it mean, none of you truly believes? This means naqisul iman, that person is deficient in the iman. This is not a hadith which by many people take the understanding, la yu'minu ahadukum, none of you truly believes, or none of you is a believer, to say that this person is a disbeliever. Every time they see somebody doing a wrong action, they quote the hadith and say, well, the hadith states that none of you is a believer. The meaning of the hadith is, you are naqisul iman, you are deficient in your iman. There's some deficiency in your belief. You cannot attribute anybody as being a kafir. It's a dangerous statement to, even if people commit, Ibn Taymiyyah highlights, even if people make words of kufr, even people make actions of kufr, you should be very careful not to label another individual as a disbeliever. Because it just exists that people may do something wrong and people say, well, that person is just a kafir. Nobody has a right to call anybody a disbeliever. And this type of fikr, this type of thought, this type of da'wah is a dangerous da'wah to concentrate on and judge people and to label people. A Muslim in his speech should not call another Muslim, ya munafiq, oh hypocrite, ya asi, oh disobedient one, ya fasiq, ya fajir. This type of labeling should not be given to another Muslim. Or even to say to a person, you are a person who's a mubtadi', you're a person who's an innovator. Nobody has a right except for those people who are skilled in the field to make hukum and judgment upon other individuals in society. So we find that even the Prophet Muhammad himself prevented his companions. That if you read the story of Osama ibn Zayd, that when he was fighting with an individual, and then when he was overcoming him, and that the man either retracted himself and said the shahada, and pulled himself away, this companion still struck him and killed him. And when the Prophet Muhammad heard of this, he said to him, why did you do this? He said, he said these words through the fear of my sword. Because now he'd lost his sword, he dropped his sword. So at that stage he had no resort except for to say, look, I'm a Muslim, to make the shahada, to make the testimony. So I killed him. The Prophet Muhammad stated to him that, did you cut open his chest? Did you cut open his stomach? And did you see what was inside his heart at that stage? Meaning that you are supposed to leave human beings upon the zahir, upon the apparent. Even you find the texts which talk about the umara and the khulafa, leave them upon what they are. Until you see kufr al-bawaha, until you see clear-cut kufr. That they abandon the prayer, they talk disbelief, they legislate by other than the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, and openly declare animosity towards the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, then a person of the ulama can come and talk about such people. So when Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala an, when he heard this hadith, talking about you should love me more than your parents and your children and the whole of mankind, he stated, but I love myself more. Everybody loves their own soul more. You find that at times, you love yourself more than your family, more than your children, the whole of humanity. That is a natural feeling an individual gets inside their heart. But even that should be refined. even that should be refined towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we find inside the Quran, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is closer to the believers than their own selves. That's the iman that we should be searching for. That is very easy for all of us to say the rhetoric, to say the academics that we should do this, we should do that. But when the time comes right, then how many times do we then stop and think that what would you find this statement, you find in Urdu language, ke huzur ne kya kiya? What did the Prophet Muhammad do? How many times do we really use that in our life? That when we are in a state of anger, a state of agitation, a state of a problem, then do we stop and then do we think in our heart, what would my beloved Prophet Muhammad do in this situation? And the external is, people can develop that inside their life, but the finer inner feeling and love towards the Prophet Muhammad is something that all of us should be searching for. All of us within our hearts should be seeking that form of, in even the inner things that we do should be in the way, in line with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do that in our lives. And then he stated to him, to Umar ibn al-Khattab, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى أَكُونَ حَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِن نَفْسِكَ. You have to love me more than you love your own self. He stated this to Umar ibn al-Khattab. So then Umar ibn al-Khattab said that now I love you even more than my own self. فَقَالَ الْآنَ يَا Umar, now you have believed, يَا Umar. What does this hadith mean, now you have believed, الْآنَ يَا Umar? Does this mean that Umar was deficient of iman? Does this mean that Umar never had that real love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. He did have that, but he needed to be renewed, to place into context. Because obviously he had that immense love towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he wanted to remind him that you should express love for me over your own self. Over your own self you should present the love towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that muhabbatuhu, that love towards him, yani shows itiba'uhu, وَتَقْضِيمْ قَوْلُهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْلْ كُلِّ أَحَدْ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ وَتَعْضِيمْ سُنَّتِهِ. That you find that to present him, to imitate him, and to bring him forward in his statements, in his actions of any other mankind. Any human being makes a statement should not run parallel to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Should not give him any preference. Human beings' statements should not be given preference over the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and to respect his sunnah as well. فَإِنَّ أُمَّتَهُ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. Yani the ummah loves him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they respect him and show honor to him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to show honor and respect to him. Amr ibn al-As, one of the companions, after became a Muslim, he highlights this immense love and emotional feeling. He first states that إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَخْصْ أَبْغَدْ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. That before Islam, the most hated of individuals to me was the Prophet. The most hated of individuals in my sight. I hated him so much. Is a statement of Amr ibn al-As. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَخْصٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْهُ. Then when he became a Muslim, he said, there's nobody who is more beloved to me than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is it that made this such a dramatic change? That he is the most hated of individuals in front of me. I despise him the most. And then from there it turns around that he becomes the most beloved. And even you read through the seerah, and you read through the works of the seerah, it's quite amazing that the kuffar, the disbelievers could trust the Prophet Muhammad with their amana, with their trust, with their property and leave it behind. And he returned it back to them. He said to Ali ibn Abi Talib, go and return back their wealth, lest sometime in the future they may state that I took some wealth or some treasures from them. But it shows that they couldn't trust each other, but they could trust the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even today, that's the way the Muslim should be. That the hatred that these people throw upon us, that hatred should be turned into love. That the way that you make your da'wah towards these people, the way that you show the love and affection towards humanity, should make them from stop hating us to love us. Because the true colors of these people is being shown at the moment. The disasters that are happening at the moment, and the way these people are behaving towards their own people, robbing their own people, raping, if you read the deep down what is happening in New Orleans at the moment, they are raping the women, they are taking children away, doing all types of evil behavior with them, and then when they die, they place them in places like the fridge. 7-year-old children. You're supposed to be rescuing people and helping people, or stopping the looting that's taking place. This shows the real essence of humanity. They don't really have humanity. It's all a disguise that we are humane. As far as Muslims are concerned, even yani dharra min al iman, a small corn of iman, a small grain of iman, a person will begin in this state of hardship, will begin to reflect, even if they had their selfish passion desires or evil intentions, would at that stage stop and think, this person is dying, this person is in need, I need to aid them, I need to do something for them. So their humanity is just a fake humanity, that we aid people and we help people. But when it comes really to the aiding in humanity, this is the way that they behave towards their own people. And we find that then he states, وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَصِفَهُ لَكُمْ, if I was told to, asked to describe him to you, he states, Amr ibn As, I cannot describe him to you. لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ إِمْلَعَ عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ, I never ever lifted my eyes to look at the Prophet Muhammad in honor and dignity and respect towards him. So if this person was to ask me, describe him to me, even being in his suhbah, in his companionship, he's stating I can't do it, because I had so much love and respect and dignity towards the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. وَقَالَ أُرْوَى ibn Mas'ud لِقُرَيْشِ, when Urwa ibn Mas'ud, who went to discuss for the Quraysh, to discuss with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ on behalf of the Quraysh, to return back another year for the performance of the Umrah, he stated to his people, يَا قَوْمْ وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ وَفَدْتُ عَلَى كِسْرَ وَقَيْسَرْ وَالْمَلُوكِ فَمَا رَيْتُ مَلِكًا. He said that I visited the people of Kisra and Qaisar, Caesar and the Persian leader, and many, many kings I've visited them. And I've seen many, many people, how they imitate their kings and they imitate their leaders. And they are people who are jabbarin. They are people who are tyrannical. They force people to love them and to obey them and to be subservient to them. But when I saw the companions, any of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I knew that this love that these people had is truly dramatic. And he states this himself. He said that if he was to spit, then they would grab his saliva. And if he was to perform, they would rub it over their faces and over their bodies. And if he was to perform the wudu, they would be about to kill themselves in trying to grab the remnants, athar al-wudu, to grab the remnants of wudu from dropping on the floor and grabbing it and catching it on their bodies. And if he was to speak, none of them would speak and all of them would keep their heads down, is the way that they respected the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, is this excessiveness in this hadith has been collected by Bukhari, my memory serves me correct, but is this excessiveness? What does it mean to be excessive? An-nahi anil ghulu wal-itra fi madhihi. Excessiveness in an exaggeration. In al-ghulu, tajawuzul had. Ghulu means to go beyond the bounds. It doesn't mean just in praise. For example, in worship, if you pray all night, you're reading nawafil, reading tahajjud, and then you don't wake up for fajr, this is ghulu. And you miss salatul fajr. Because this is a deception, talbis iblis, this is a deception of the devil. That he's keeping you up reading nawafil, reading Quran, and right close to fajr you fall asleep and you miss the congregational prayer, or you miss it totally, you don't even wake up. This is a deception of the devil, don't be deceived by this. That's how we always say to people that concentrate on the five fara'id. Get them in place, that you make it to the masjid in time for those, pray them in congregation, and then build on the other things. There's no point in being Abdul Rahman one night, and then the rest of the week just laying asleep because you can't get to the masjid again. There's no point in doing actions like that. It should be constant. Constant in what you are doing, in sticking to the fara'id. Because the first thing that you will be asked about is the obligatory action. So ghulu can happen in that sense as well. Ghulu isn't just in praise. Ghulu can be in the worship, in the ibadah, in the things that you do. Ghulu could be in anything, anything that you find. Either tajawuz al-had, asbaha diddahu. Every time you go beyond the limits, it comes into the opposite. Excessive eating, excessive relationship, excessive whatever, money, anything. If you go beyond the bounds, it becomes something harmful to you. That which is halal becomes harmful. So ghulu is tajawzul had, to go beyond the limitations or the bounds. The Ahlul Kitab have been warned about this. La taghlu fi dinikum. Don't exceed inside your deen. These are the parameters. These are the limits that have been given to you. La taghlu fi dinikum. Don't become excessive in your deen. And that's how many Muslims begin to follow the same pattern, thinking, no, I can do more. I want to do more. And that's the mentality that these people begin to show. The Christians celebrate the birthday of Jesus. They place Christmas lights. We have more right to to Jesus and to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should place lights inside the masjid. Same Christmas lights they buy from the same shop. If you think I'm exaggerating, visit some of these masjids, they'll have them displayed. And this is the mantiq, this is the logic that they use. They have a right to praise Jesus, so why don't we praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's the haraj? What's the harm in doing that? In celebrating his birthday, celebrating the Isra wal Mi'raj, celebrating anything, any occasion that comes, just celebrating it and praising him. This is none other than following the way of Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. As for Itrah, this is Mujawazat al-Had fil Madhi wal Kadib fihi. You need to go beyond the bounds, exaggeration, with praise and by lying as well. That you begin to praise someone and then you lie at the same time. Something doesn't exist in an individual, you find these long titles, huwa Sheikh, Allama, Fulan, Muhaddith, Mujaddid, whatever, all these long titles going on and on and on. Madda dhilluhu, may his shade be glorified. His shade be glorified. What's the, why are you praising his shade for? Meaning that his life should be glorified. All this excessiveness is no need for this. Everybody is Abdulillah. Everybody is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this type of mud which contains praise and excessiveness is not good. You are breaking the individual's back. No one should praise somebody excessively in this type of manner. And we find that this type of raising is yarfa fawqa martabatul ubudiyya. They raise the Prophet Muhammad above the level of ubudiyya, of servitude, of being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengership, raising up to give him certain attributes which only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the danger of this da'wah, that they begin to give, because they begin to hold this concept, just like the Christians believe that on the right side of God rests Jesus, is sitting on the throne. Muslims hold this belief as well, that parallel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not an extreme statement to make, but this is a belief that people hold. Many people hold this belief inside their aqa'id, inside their belief that he has the right, he has the knowledge of the unseen. He knows the ghayb was given to him specifically to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a belief which is a deviant belief. And the ahadith, if you read the ahadith which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about, many of these ahadith are towards the end of his life, upon his deathbed, the final days of his life. لَا تُطُرُونِي كَمَا أَطُرَتِ النَّصَارَ ابْنِ مَرْيَمِ. Don't excessively praise me, excel me like the Christians done to the son of Maryam, meaning Isa, Jesus. إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ. Indeed, I am only a servant. فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Say that I am the servant of Allah and his messenger. Read the context of this hadith. It's not towards the beginning of his messengership, not in the middle, but towards the end of his life. And the ulama of hadith have highlighted the reason why he touched upon such wordings towards the end of his life is to set the message clear. Do not become excessive in your praise towards me, but call me the abd, the servant, and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people say to him, anta sayyiduna, you are our master, what did he state to his people? فَقَالَ أَسَيِّدُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. The master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified one. Don't call me the master. And that's why you find that even in tashahud that some people, yani will use the word sayyid inside their supplication. This, the hadith is not to be accepted with such yani wordings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَمَّا قَالُوا وَأَفْضَلُنَا وَأَعْظَمُنَا. When they stated about him that you are the most virtuous of us, you're the most greatest amongst us. قُولُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ أَوْ بَعْدِ قَوْلِكُمْ. Stay away from this statement or say somebody's statement, but do not praise me in such a degree. وَلَا يَسْتَجْرِيَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. That shaitan becomes an aid over in this type of behavior or this type of manner or etiquette. And that's why you find another hadith narrated by Abu Dawood. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا. Don't make my grave as a place of migration of people coming and visiting it. وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ. Pray your salah upon me, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon me, it will come to me wherever you are. So when people have this, they say to you, you are about to go and perform Umrah or Hajj, convey my salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a deviant belief. Convey my salam to him. When the hadith in Abu Dawood is stating, وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Send your salam upon me, your salah upon me. Upon me, فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي. Your salah, your salutations will reach me wherever you are. They will come to my grave. So when people say, when you're going there, offer my salah and salam, why don't you do it yourself? Why don't you say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam yourself? Why does somebody have to travel there? And say, to such a degree, one individual said to me, clearly said to me, words of kufr, you only went to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you had permission because the Prophet Muhammad SAW called you. He called you and you went there. You're a very lucky individual. Words of kufr, qadr, destiny, decree, is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What relationship does it have with the Prophet Muhammad SAW that he called you? He mentioned your name, he made dhikr of you and you went there. It's deviancy, it's kufr to believe such things. And we find, وَقَالَ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا خَيْرُنَا وَإِبْنُ خَيْرُنَا يَا سَيِّدُنَا وَإِبْنُ سَيِّدُنَا. People said that you are the messenger of Allah, you are the best amongst us, the son of the best amongst us, you are a master, the son of our master. He said to them, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا بِقَوْلِكُمْ وَلَا يَسْتَحْوِنَكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ مَا حَبُّ أَن تَرْفَعُونِي فَوْكَ مَنْزِلَةِ الَّتِي أَنْزَلِنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ. O mankind, restrain yourself from this statement. Do not shaitan become an aid making such a statement. Indeed, I am Muhammad, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. I do not want to, مَا حَبُّ أَن تَرْفَعُونِي. I don't want you to praise me above my position. Don't raise me up above my position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed me in. And this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i. So we find that he hated that titles of such nature be given to him, to be called Sayyid, to be called best of creation. And even though without a shadow of a doubt, we know that he is the best of creation. We don't debate about that. He told us to restrain from mentioning such words about him. So we should respect and honor that and refrain from using such words towards him. And use those two words that he said that you should call me by. The Abd, Abdullahi, wa Rasuluhu. The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that يقول العلامة ابن القيم في النونية, the علامة ابن القيم mentions in his famous qasida, his poetry, which all end with the noon, which end with the letter noon, لله حق لا يكون لغيره ولعبده حق هما حقان. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs a right, لا يكون لغيره, does not belong to nobody else, no other individual or nobody else, ولعبده حق هما حقان. And there's a right that belongs to the servant, so both of them are two rights. One right which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one right that belongs to the creation or to the servant. لا تجعل الحقين حقا واحدا. Don't make these two rights one right. من غير تميز ولا فرقان. Without any distinction or without any clarity. Meaning that the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The haqq that belongs to the right that belongs to the abd, the servant, the Prophet Muhammad is a separate right. Do not mix the two together and state that both of them share the same rights. You have to make a distinction between the Khaliq and the Makhluq, is the way Allama Ibn Qayyim highlighted in his Qasida An-Nuniya. So we find that clarifying his position, the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated about him? Because now we are praising him in the context of what has been mentioned inside the Quran and the Sunnah. So people need to know that, because then people will say, we don't show any love and affection to him. We don't praise him sufficiently. We don't make mention of him sufficiently. So we want to highlight what is the rank. He is afdalul khalq ala al-itlaq. He is the best of creation without a shadow of doubt. There is no doubt in the hearts of Ahlul Sunnah that he is not the best of creation. He is the best of creation without a shadow of doubt. وَهُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ. He is the messenger of Allah to the whole of humanity. وَإِلَى جَمِيءِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ إِلَى الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ. He is to the whole of the world, to the world of human beings and the world of the jinn as well. He has been sent. وَهُوَ أَفْضُلُ الرُّسُلِ وَخَاتُمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. He is the best of the prophets and he is the seal of the prophets. He is the best of the prophets. And you find that the Isra wal-Mi'raj, that none of the prophets stepped forward until he came and he led them inside the prayer. The doors of paradise will not be open until the Prophet Muhammad goes there and he opens the doors of paradise. And then every single prophet will be saying, when people go, let us go and ask the Prophet to save us and to intercede with them. Each prophet would mention their own sins. Except for when they come, they say, go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, this is for me and this is my right. And then even then, look at the gratitude of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he will fall down into sajda. And he will make supplications and prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's never made before, wordings he's never used before. And then it will be said to him, stand ask and it would be given. It's something, this is shafa'ah, the greatest intercession, which is given only to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَدْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded his chest. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ ذِكْرَهُ And has raised up his remembrance, his dhikr. وَجَعَلَ الذُّلَّ وَالصِّغَارَ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِهِ And has made indignity, lowliness, and disrespect for those people who go against his command. وَهُوَ صَاحِبُ الْمَقَامُ الْمَحْمُودِ He is the person of that great praiseworthy position and that station. عَسَى أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا And your Lord will raise you up to that ultimate position and that rank. That maqam is none other than the maqam and the rank of shafa'a. The rank of intercession that is only given to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. As we find that the dua, the supplication make after adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamad. Until the end is given the Prophet ﷺ the wasila, maqam and mahmud. The praiseworthy position and the wasila, the right to intercede. Or that ultimate intercession has only been given to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He is the most أخشى الخلق لله سبحانه وتعالى The most fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his creation. That's why you find that an individual who said to the Prophet Muhammad fear Allah. Fear Allah in your judgments. And the Prophet Muhammad said to him, if I am not feared, then who is going to be feared in this dunya? And that was a wording which is justified. That nobody can ever state that I am a just individual or I am a pious individual. The Prophet Muhammad had the right to make this wording to that individual to teach him a lesson. That if I am the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I don't be fair and just, then whoever will be fair and just inside society? And we find to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that even the raising of one's voice above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why I advise all of us to go back and read the tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. That the adab that you find, the 49th chapter of the Quran, that the whole beginning of this surah and the etiquette inside these 18 verses highlight the bringing and the uplifting of any society. That if you want to learn etiquettes of a society, how they behave, then this is a surah that needs to be read and to be implemented in our life.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ Oh, you believe? Don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ And don't raise your voices or call upon each other like you call towards, you raise your voices towards one another. أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون that your actions become null and void and you do not even perceive it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those individuals. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى Those people who restrain their voices, lower their voices in front of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made أَخْلَصَ قُلُوبَهُمْ has purified their hearts with iman, placed iman and taqwa inside their hearts. And then it goes on to state, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ For them is a forgiveness and a great manifest reward. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجَرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ Those people who call you from behind the compartments, the hujarat, behind the rooms, most of them they don't know. That was the etiquette of the Arabs, the Bedouins, to call from outside of the walls. Come out, O Prophet of Allah, come out to disturb him. That is etiquette that you find even today, that to stand outside someone's house, and to shout out, come out of your house, I'm standing outside the door. So this surah has great benefits about the way that we should conduct ourselves inside society. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ And if they had patience until the Prophet Muhammad came out for them, this would have been better for them. And that's how we find Al-Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir highlights that these are the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the believers adab. Taught them the etiquettes of behavior, the way they need to behave. من التوقير والاحترام والتبجيل والإعظام. That all forms of respect and honor and dignity that should be given towards the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We find, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Don't call upon him the way that you call upon your friends and you call each other. So don't say to him, يا محمد. And if you read through the Quran inside great detail, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rest of the prophets, He speaks to them directly. Ya Dawood. Oh Dawood. Talking about Suleiman. Talking about all the prophets. Ya Zakariya. All the prophets we mentioned directly by the name. Whenever he talks about the Prophet Muhammad SAW, he does not mention him subhanahu wa ta'ala by name. Ya Ayyur Rasul. Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. All forms of titleship are given to him. And when the location is inside the Quran, because somebody may pose, but how come sometimes his name is mentioned? وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. These texts of these ayat which come by mentioning his name are talking in the third person. Talking the other text, not addressing him. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ. Muhammad is not except a messenger, is a prophet. مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. It's not addressing him. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him, he says to him, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِي. So we find, صلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you find that this type of address that we find, the way that we should address him, is not acceptable to mention him by just by his name. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted inside the Quran, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. So we find that some people, unfortunately, they restrict this salutation. And this is when it becomes a bid'ah, when it becomes an innovation. That you need to do it at a certain time, a certain place, and a certain location. Here it is am, general. You should send your salutations and your salam and greetings upon the Prophet Muhammad SAW whenever you want. As for to make it a restricted time and place, as we find the common practice is after Salatul Jum'ah, after the prayer, to stand together in front of the microphone and to sing, to make salah and salam. This is a bid'ah, this is an innovation. This is an innovation that these people are committing. It's away from the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. Unfortunately, and we should teach these people this is something incorrect. And we find that also, any ta'zim towards him is because his sunnah is nothing but revelation. After the Quran, the second form of tashri' legislation is the text of the sunnah.
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ.
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own desires. It is nothing else but revelation. The beginning of Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd chapter, we find these verses there. So there should be no tashkik. There should be no doubt about the sunnah and the role of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, we find that talking about these ahadith, there's unfortunately, many young people, like myself as well probably, they go beyond the bounds of explaining the hadith. That we overstep the bounds, not checking the ahadith, not checking the interpretation of the hadith. Everyone should stop at their limits. That when people begin to make freelance interpretations of ahadith and understanding and making it weak or make it authentic, is something that you're disrespecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a form of disrespect. So if a person sees a hadith and says, well, it carries the meaning of this. It's a very dangerous thought to have. It carries this meaning. Who am I to state it carries this meaning? Either you quote a classical text that the hadith has been interpreted in this manner. These are the four or the five interpretations which have been given. As for young individuals who come and say, well, the hadith can also carry this manner because we live in this society, is a dangerous understanding to have towards the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that the wujub, the obligation to show obedience to him and to follow him. Because this in essence is linked to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The many verses you find inside the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Oh, you believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. So linked to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Taratan, occasion you find obedience on its own. You've been told to just obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, if you study this linguistically and according to the Arabic grammar and the language, you find that this verse is dynamic. Because throughout the Quran you find, obey Allah and obey the messenger. This is one place inside the Quran it states, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ. Whoever obeys the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, has indeed obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you call ihtiram. Total respect towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, من يطيع الرسول. If you obey the messenger, you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shows that the intent of how much we should be making taqleed of the Prophet Muhammad, blind imitation of none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey him that you may attain turhamun. Mercy may be thrown upon you, be sent down upon you. So if you want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of us, then obey the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we find on occasions that warning of disobedience has been mentioned. So the order, the command doesn't stop there. On occasion you can find that if you disobey him, what will happen? فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Let those people be aware and let them be warned that those people who go against his command, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That some fitna may come upon them, أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or some evil chastisement may come upon them. What is this fitna inside this verse? Ulama have described that this fitna is a fitna of shirk, the fitna of kufr, the fitna of bid'ah, the fitna of going off the path, the fitna of living under any stress in this dunya, of going against the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also we find that this love and this obedience leads none other to that if you do love him, the verse of imtihan, the verse of testing, that if you really do love him.
قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. In the beginning of Surah Al Imran, in the 3rd chapter, verse number 31. So we find that ta'atuhu hidayatan, that obedience to him is guidance for you. Wa ma'asiyatuhu dalalan, and to disobey him is a form of misguidance and going off the path. Wa in tuti'u tahtadu, if you obey him, you will be guided. And obviously you find that the opposite holds true. If you obey him, you become guided. If you disobey him, you will go off the path and go off the track of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't follow him, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If these people don't respond to your call, then know for a fact that these people are only following the ahwa, are following their desires, their own lust and their desires. It's something dangerous that if you don't respond to the call, then what are you doing? What excuse do you have but none other than your own ahwa, your hawa, your lust and your desires within you? وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Who is more astray than the one who follows their hawa, follows their false desires and inclinations, هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ, takes these as the way, the guidance other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide a people who are ظالمين, oppressive people. Likewise, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted that he is the qudwa and the hasana that we should all be following. We find the verse inside Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, verse number 21.
لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا.
Many times we've read this verse. Many times we memorize this verse, that indeed in the conduct and the behavior of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is a fine example, exemplified character of behavior, uswatun hasana, for you to emulate and for you to copy inside your life, if you believe in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day. Wa dhakara Allah kathira, and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. Now, Ibn Kathir highlights once again the famous mufassir in his tafsir, هذه الآية الكريمة أصل كبير في التعسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله. This is the greatest verse of principle, of point, that highlighting to imitate him, to follow him, to conduct yourself like him, to imitate his statements, his actions, and all of his affairs. Now, many of us have gone through this verse on many occasions, but subhanAllah, it struck me that this verse is inside Surah Al-Ahzab. Now, Surah Al-Ahzab is a verse, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, called the Confederates, talking about when all of the kuffar came against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now look at the context of the verse. Maybe you might have read it hundreds of times, many occasions, And the verses and places are Surah Al-Ahzab. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You're being attacked, hardship, whatever. Turn back to whom? Turn back to the Uswa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that may have slipped our mind. That is placed inside Surah Al-Ahzab, which talks about the munafiqeen leaving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which talks about the enemies getting together to attack him. And then we were told to return back to the Uswa and the stance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that just like the individual has a need for food and drink, that if you don't have food and drink, eventually you would break down and you would just, by the permission of Allah, you would just die. The same thing that the ta'a wa ittiba'u rasul should be like that inside your ruh, inside your soul. If you lose ittiba'u rasul, then your soul is dead. As many of the ulama of tazkiyah, ulama of purification and tasawwuf, the correct tasawwuf, they write that there are people who are walking about, but they are dead. Because their soul is dead. Their link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dead. As you find in the hadith, مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّدِ, the example of the living and the dead is that the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who doesn't. So people could be technically living, but as far as the sharia is concerned, these people are dead within themselves because they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find that people just think about the food and drink and that's sufficient for them. But they don't think about the internal ittiba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you lose that in your life, then you are just walking about in an ill manner. Now, we find that the ta'a, the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned in some 40 places inside the Qur'an. In 40 locations you find the importance of obedience towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you find that if you miss his ta'a, his obedience, then calamities and hardships will fall upon the individual. So his iqtida, he's following his path, is in all affairs. In the affairs of ibadat, in the actions that we do. Many people forever debate that, why do you do this, why do you do that? The answer is quite simple. It's a very simple answer. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you've seen me pray. There's no need to go into a wild explanation about the text and the nusus. The majority of the ulama, in the consensus of actions like raful yadain, are in consensus that the ahadith are mutawatir in nature. Some 70 odd companions narrate this action. So why do we need to go to the one respected opinion when the consensus of the sahaba are narrating this hadith? I'm not trying to highlight the point of raful yadain, but I'm trying to highlight the point of interpretation. That are you supposed to turn away from the whole of the consensus of the sahaba? And even principles of hadith, that when a certain sahabi only narrates one certain action, and the masses of them narrating an action which is contradictory to that, then you should follow the consensus, the ijma of the action of the sahaba. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me the rites of Hajj. So everything should be referred back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does an action which we haven't instigated, we have not given any authority, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Quite simple. You can't say, well, my love tells me to do this. I don't find any harm inside this. The Prophet Muhammad never ever done it. Never told his companions to do it. So why should you go and do this action? فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. That action is rejected. فَهُوَ مَرْتُودٌ in other narrations that we find. Likewise, we find, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Is not from me. So the opposite is true as well. That people are doing excessive actions of sunnah, and then other people are just turning away from the sunnah. Well, it doesn't really matter. And I've always held this opinion inside my heart. A person who knows the sunnah and does not do it, there is great khayr for that individual. Is even better than us people who talk about the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad personally inside my heart. Because that love will one day tick over to ta'assi, to imitation and to obedience. But a person who comes and plays with the nusus, plays with the text, and say, well, this hadith doesn't really mean this. This hadith is not in this context that you're trying to promote it in. That is a dangerous da'wah. Because that person will never ever come to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Would always freelance, interpret to stay away from the sunnah. And anybody who stays away from the sunnah is a dangerous da'wah. How can people believe in reviving Islam once again? In returning back to the golden years? Without returning back to the sunnah? It's a basic principle to understand. You turn yourself away from the sunnah, then how are you ever going to become victorious once again? Or if you think that the sunnah is petty in what it highlights? There will be no victory for such people. And that is a fact. That is a well-known fact. That such people will never ever gain authority on the land, who turn away from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and feel that it is a modernistic world and interpretation. Finally, we close with, because as we've mentioned, the people say that you don't make salah and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We mention in the verse inside the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens, and so do the angels, and so do the people on the dunya. And they both come down and they go up, and together the whole of the world is filled with praise or salutation towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusalluna ala nabi. And what does the word salah mean? Salah, as what we understand it to mean, is the salah that we pray. But here it means a du'a, supplication. What is the du'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many interpretations have been written by the ulama, but the salatullah means thana'uhu alayhi inda al-malaika, to praise him in front of the angels, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him in front of the angels. It's the meaning of salatullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salah, salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa salatu al-malaika, what is the prayer or the salutations of the angels? That it is their du'a. They're praying for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa salatul adamiyin, and what is the prayer of us? Al istighfar, to raise his rank, to give him that nobility and rank. And this is what Imam Bukhari has mentioned is the meaning of this verse: Inna Allaha wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. And other interpretations have been written by the classical ulama. Now we find that Ibn Qayyim al Jawziyah, he mentions, and before we go into that, yani sallimu taslima. What is tahiyya mean? Greetings as well. Whenever you mention his name, for the Prophet you can state alayhi salam. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should combine it with as-salah and with taslim. So you can state alayhi salatu wa salam. It has to be combined, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should pray salutations and salam, make taslim upon him, should be given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلْيَجْمَعْ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ فَلَا يَقْتَصِرْ عَلَى أَحَدِهِمَا فَلَا يَقُولْ صلى الله عليه فقد ولا يقول عليه السلام فقد. So a person should gather between the two and not just state صلى الله عليه فقد. Should not just say صلى الله عليه. You should say صلى الله عليه وسلم, both of them together. Now here we find that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he mentions in one of his works, in one of his collections of books, he mentions that 41 locations whereby it may become obligatory or recommended for you to say صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever you hear his name. Amongst the most important places that we find is آخر التشهد, the final التشهد. The ulama have gone to the opinion that the person, the prayer is invalid until you say in the آخر التشهد, in the final sitting, اللهم صلي على محمد. If you don't read this, then your prayer is invalid. So this shows the importance of sending yani salah and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. واختلفوا في وجوبه فيها. Yani some ulama have differed, but the strongest standing is that it's something that needs to be done inside the prayer. Likewise, you find min al mawatin akhar, other places in qunut, in the khutbah of Jum'ah, in the Eid, in the rain prayer, whereby a person should be making mention of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, you find wa ba'da ijabat al muadhin, after the adhan of the muadhin, that person should send the salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the du'a, when you supplicate in the beginning after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should mention the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعِنْدَ دُخُولِ الْمَسْجِدِ وَالْخُرُوجِ, when you enter the masjid and you go out of the masjid. وَعِنْدَ ذِكْرِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whenever you find his name is being mentioned, you should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find the hadith, whoever hears my name and does not send salah and salam upon me, فَهُوَ بَخِيلٌ, that individual is a stingy one. The most close to the people who will be on the Day of Judgment are those people who hear my name and state sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time you say it once, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salutations upon you 10 times. Now here you find that people who state that we are bukhala, we are stingy people, we don't praise him, we don't make mention of him, and this is unjustified. Because we've mentioned the times and the places that one should be mentioning his name, and we should try our best, as we mentioned throughout our life, to make imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, just like these 40 places, He also mentioned at the same time, he mentioned 41 locations, and at the same time he mentioned there's 40 benefits. He collects 40 benefits of saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them, he mentions 10 praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give salutation once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns 10 back to you. Your dua will be answered. One of the causes of your dua being answered is to begin with praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to mention the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a reason for intercession. To mention his name, one of the reasons for intercession to be accepted for you. Reason for forgiveness of one's sins. And a reason for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to return his response to you. And you look at the companions, the way that they felt whenever it was said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned you by name. Many companions, they would weep. Said, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention me by name? You know, and these people, we should bear this in mind as well. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be close to him on that day. Who are those people who are going to be close to him? People who are close to the sunnah. These people only cling to these things of the praise and mention his name in an ill manner. And then justification of, you have to see him in a vision, in a dream, and then you really reach that love. If you chant his name, I don't know, maybe 1,001 times at this time, you'll be able to visualize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these are hadith are authentic. Whoever sees me in a dream has indeed seen me. But once again, what is the classical interpretation of this hadith? Only those people who live by his teachings, and those people who know what his sifat, what his khuluq, what his shama'il are going to be those people who are going to recognize that that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the shaitan cannot take the shape and the form of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So ulama and those people, righteous people, many people visualize him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they can recognize him, because they never come along to you in a dream and say to you, look, stop praying. And one of their clerics, he made this public speech. He said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to me, he came to me in a dream. He traveled to Pakistan, and he came to me in a dream. And he said to me, I'm not going to mention the person's name, he said to me, it is your responsibility to book my flight back to Medina. It's a live recording, I've heard this with my own ears. It is your responsibility that as long as I come my visit in Pakistan, you are officially my tour guide, and it is your responsibility to take care of me whilst on my trip here in this country. This is kufr. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lifted him from masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa, and then took him up to the heavens. We don't need al-khutut al-saudi al-arabiya. We don't need Saudi Arabian Airlines, a flight to be booked for you to go back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he had to retract this statement. He had to retract, the whole of this lecture was taken off. And then he introduced a new lecture, that my visions and my dreams, that you people don't understand what my dreams and my visions are. Your dreams and your visions are nothing but garbage. Because all the ulama stood up and refuted him. That this type of dreams that you were trying to utter is clear-cut kufr. This is what these people, what they call ghustakh al-rasul. Dishonesty and disloyalty towards the Prophet. So this is it. To go to such a level to say that you have to look after him. He doesn't need you to look after him. He is the Prophet of Allah. That he has been protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we need such people. These people, mesmerized people in their speech and in their love that they show towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his salutations daiman wa abadan upon khairul khalq Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us be amongst those people who join with him in the hold and drink from that fountain. Whoever drinks from that fountain will never ever feel thirsty again. Keep us away from ma'asi, or forms of disobedience, and bid'at and khurafat, all types of innovations and those things that lead us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything good and khair I've said has been nothing but the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything evil or incorrect has been from my own ill understanding and the wisdom of shaitan. Wa jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك بارك الله فيكم